कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी उपजन्द वल्लभ गिरवर धारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी शोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन शोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरा वंदचारी यमुना तीरा वंदचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
पाप परमहंस परिवेदाचार्य स्तोत्र सत्र श्री श्रीमती श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की श्री प्रभुपाद फाउंडर आचार्य विभूतिस्कोम की साम वेद भक्त वृंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल द डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल द डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल द डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वी आर रीडिंग from the 10th canto, chapter 33, which is entitled The Rasa Dance, text 25. evam shashankam su virajita nisha sa satya kamo nurata balagana Sisheva Atmani Avaruda Sorata Sarvasharat Kavya Katara Sasraya Evam Shasham Kamsu Virajita Nisha Sasatya kamo nurata balagana Sisheva atmani avaruddha sorata Sarvasarat kavya katara sasraya Evam sasyam kamsu virajita naisa Sasatya kamo nurata balagana Sisheva atmani avaruddha sorata Sarva sarat kavya katara sasraya Ladies. In this manner, Sashanka of the moon, Amsu by the rays, Virajita made brilliant, Nisha the nights, Saha. He, Satyakama, whose desires are always fulfilled, Anurata, constantly attached to him, Abalagana, his many girlfriends, sich hebe, he utilized Atmani within himself, Avaruda reserved, Sarata conjugal feelings, Sarva all the nights, Sarat of the autumn, Kavya poetic, Kata of narrations, Rasa of the transcendental modes, Asraya the repositories. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although the gopis were firmly attached to Lord Krishna, whose desires are always fulfilled, the Lord was not internally affected by any mundane sex desire. Still, to perform his pastimes, the Lord took advantage of all those moonlit autumn nights which inspire poetic descriptions of transcendental affairs. Please repeat. Although the gopis were firmly attached to Lord Krishna, whose desires are always fulfilled, the Lord was not internally affected by any mundane sex desire. Still, to perform his pastimes, the Lord took advantage of all those moonlit autumn nights which inspire poetic descriptions of transcendental affairs. Purport. It is difficult to translate into English the word rasa, which indicates the spiritual bliss derived from one's loving relationship with Lord Krishna. That bliss is experienced in the midst of spiritual pastimes with the Lord and His devotees. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that great Vaishnava poets like Vyasa, Parasara, Jayadev, Lilasukha, Bilvamangala Thakur, Govardhanacharya and Srila Rupa Goswami have tried in their poetry to describe the conjugal affairs of the Lord. These descriptions are never complete. However, since the Lord's pastimes are unlimited, thus the attempt to glorify such pastimes is still going on and will go on forever. Lord Krishna arranged an extraordinary season of beautiful autumn nights to enhance his loving affairs. And those autumn nights have inspired transcendental poets since time and immemorial. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananiya Salakaya Shakshur Anmilitam Yena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha. विस्मदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते सत्वर दास को स्वामी ते नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती नमो विस्मदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी ते नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादि सतारिणे. So in this chapter, as we all know, it's describing Sri Krishna's Rasa dance, which he enjoyed, because Krishna is the enjoyer. He enjoyed with his beloved girlfriends in the forest near the bank of the Yamuna. So the gopis, they are tightly bound to Krishna by the ropes of affection. And the gopis were in anxiety very often for the well-being of the Lord, out of concern that he would step on a pebble which would prick his foot. In so many ways, their affection, their bond was so strong that it would affect them, that it would be the center of their life. There was nothing else that could interfere, which would be more important than that. This type of anxiety for Krishna makes them so special. And it's not easy for us to think of such situations. I can think of one situation when I was a Grihastha and I just had my first child, my son. And during the night he was sleeping the whole night, and he was always staying with his mother, because it's natural. But I also wanted to have him with me. But mothers, they are very sensitive for the movement of the children when they are sleeping with the babies. They sleep very light. But I was sleeping very deep. And in the middle of the night, I would wake up, where is my baby son? And I would touch around me, because it was dark. And then I would go to his mouth to see if he was still breathing. So this type of anxiety is something what's make me think on, because obviously I was afraid he was so small, that I would lie on him and he and me in a very deep sleep, I would not be very conscious of what would happen with him. So this type of anxiety is something which makes me a little bit understand of what we can feel or what we could feel for Krishna, if we make the pleasure to Krishna as our goal. And because Krishna is the only actual enjoyer and object of enjoyment. It's stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the constitutional position of the living entity is to be an eternal servant of the Lord. That's our constitutional position. Constitution means it's a fact. It's not something like, okay, you have an option to be a servant of Krishna, or you have an option to not be a servant of Krishna. It's not like that. Constitution means factual. If a country has a constitution, means all citizens, including the prime minister, have to follow the constitution. So the constitutional position for the living entity is that he is an eternal servant of the Lord. And when we don't act according to our constitution, means we are off. When we act for ourselves, for our own pleasure, means we are off the track. We are not doing what we are supposed to do. It's just like when you have a car, then the car is made and prescriptions are made that this car takes diesel or that type of fuel, etc., or gas, whatever it is. But if you put water in the tank, it's not going to work. So the similar situation for the living entity, that he is supposed to act according to what Krishna made us for. And Krishna made all living entities besides himself as servants of him. And now it's up to us. We have the freedom. We have the freedom, not really fully freedom, but we have the freedom to bang our head, you can say. Because that's what happens if we do not follow. Then we bang our head. And the hope is that one day we come to the understanding that we should act according to our constitutional position. Means we should act for the pleasure of the Lord. And the gopis, they are the prime example of acting according to their constitutional position. Because they are always thinking of how can I best serve Krishna. That's their 24 hours meditation. They are serving Krishna unconditionally. They don't put conditions. Easy situation, difficult situation. They just do whatever is needed to serve Krishna, to please Krishna. And they care for Krishna. They are concerned for Krishna. That's their attitude. And that's why they develop this strong bond, this strong affection for the Lord. And obviously the Lord is reciprocating to that. Because the Lord is a person. So it's a personal relationship. It's a loving relationship. So when King Parikshit heard from Srila Sukadev Goswami the narration of Krishna's conjugal loving pastimes with the gopis, which you can say superficially resembles the activities of lusty persons. Superficially, it resembles. Not really, but still, that King Parikshit picked up on that. Probably for our benefit, for our understanding. But King Parikshit picked up on that. And he expressed his doubt to Srila Sukadev Goswami. And Srila Sukadev Goswami dispelled the doubt of King Parikshit. And he stated that the Lord is not internally affected by any sex desire. And the Lord is all perfect. He is complete. He is Purnam. And there is no possibility of Him becoming subjected to the laws of material nature. Srila Prabhupada explains that. Because He is the source of material nature. And just like the example that the king can at any time visit any prison, he can go in there and out. Because the prisons are under his supervision. He is the head of everything in the state. So he can go in and out freely. Doors open whenever he wants to enter. And whenever he wants to leave, he can leave. So similarly, Lord Krishna is the source of everything. And Maya is also there for us. If we do not want to serve, then she comes very much in the picture. And she is begging Krishna for service. And she is complaining sometimes. So she wants service from the Lord. And the Lord is giving that service to her. In the Brahma Samhita 5.1, we have the famous verse, Isvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. So there it is said that there are many personalities possessing the qualities of the Lord, the qualities of Bhagavan. But Krishna is, amongst all these personalities, the Supreme. And He excels everybody else. Because He is the Supreme Person. His body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And He is the primeval Lord Govinda. And as such, He is the cause of all causes. It's a big thing. It's just a few words, the cause of all causes. But it's actually a big thing. Means nothing happens in the whole creation without His sanction. He is the cause of all causes. Krishna Bhagavan is the He owns all the six opulences. He is the most attractive. He is the most wealthy. Because everything belongs to Him. We can only temporarily claim something, it belongs to me. Until the time of death. And then we have to let it go. And then it can go to our children, grandchildren, whatever. But still, it's all ultimately, Krishna owns everything. And we have to let go everything. He has the ultimate strength and power. He can do everything and anything He wants to do. All knowledge is coming from Him. He has all knowledge. And He is the most famous. And another outstanding quality of Bhagavan, the Lord, is that he is the most renounced. Because some people, they can have some wealth. Some people, they can have some beauty. They can have some strength, some knowledge. But to be fully renounced is a very special quality. Also in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.1.1, Lord Krishna is established there as the absolute truth. He is established in that same verse as the primeval cause of all causes. As the primeval cause of all causes, of the creation, of the spiritual world, of the material world. He is the source of all incarnations. Krishna is always right, is always perfect. Whatever he does is right. And then Sri Sukadev Goswami, after answering this point to King Parikshit about his doubt, you know, is there something of lust there or sex desire there? Then he stated also that if anybody tries to imitate the Lord, that is very detrimental for that person. And he compares it with Lord Shiva was drinking the poison after churning the ocean. There was a lot of poison and Lord Shiva drank it all and just had a blue color in his neck from it. So it's Sri Sukadev Goswami explains, it's like a person who is imitating Lord Shiva and drinking the poison of the ocean. That's how bad an effect it has on a person who tries to imitate Krishna's Rasa Lila. Further on, Srila Prabhupada explains that in the material world, love means lust, kama. And in Sanskrit, love means prema, which is only directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So people are, Sri Prabhupada is explaining that people are cheaply using the word love. But it's really cheap. It's not very deep. It's not at all in line with the meaning of love, of prema. Love for Godhead. And our duty is to develop love of Godhead. And that is what will develop our relationship with Krishna. And that is what will eternally put us straight on the track back to Godhead. But this cheap use in the material world of the word love, in mundane literature, it's so often used, the word love, because people like the word love. They are attracted to the word love. But it's artificial. It is not real. It's a trap. It's a misunderstanding. It's an abuse of the real meaning. It's not what it stands for. Love stands for prema, and prema stands for love of Godhead. That is the proper use of the word love. And the artificial use of the word love will bring us nowhere. It will simply keep us in illusion. It will keep us, it remain us to be egocentric, to be egoistic. In the Bhagavad Gita in 4.11, Krishna rewards all the devotees equally. It says there that Krishna awards everybody equally, according to their different intensities of love for him. That's his barometer. How intense, how much do we desire to become intense, how much do we take steps in our service to come more close to Krishna. These are the things that count in spiritual life. How much effort are we doing in our relationship with Krishna? And then the word love is appropriate. Because there is no love without sacrifice. We need to do sacrifice in order to come to the level where we love. Because that's what Krishna wants. He doesn't want anything more. He wants loving service, guided by his representative, the spiritual master. He wants to bring everybody to his lotus feet. But not in an artificial way, in a real way. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he recommended premopam arto maham. The highest perfection of life is prema, pure love, in relationship to Krishna. In 1973, a lady, her name was Linne Ludwig. She had encountered a few times devotees. And after encountering them a few times, she wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada that she felt that since they are representing renunciation, spiritual life, they should be much more loving. She was not very happy with her encounters with these devotees. And it was in 1973, so Srila Prabhupada was already very, very busy with so many things. Still, he took quality time to answer her a quite lengthy letter. And because he also using that word love somewhat cheaply, he also addresses in that letter that point. And it's a little lengthy, but I find it's very much makes the point about love, the meaning of love. So Srila Prabhupada says, my dear Line Ludwig, she's from California, please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter from California, and I have noted the contents carefully. Although due to extensive traveling and preaching and a tour in India, I have not had the opportunity to reply to you at length until now. Your complaint is that you have met two of my young disciples in California, and they appear to you to have a very negative outlook towards the people they meet. Of course, I do not know the case and what the circumstances are, but kindly forgive my beloved disciples for any unkindness or indiscretion on their part. After all, to give up one's life completely for serving the Lord is not an easy thing. And Maya, or the illusory material energy, tries especially hard to again entrap those who have left her service to become devotees. Therefore, in order to withstand the attack of Maya and remain strong under all conditions of temptation, young or inexperienced devotees in the neophyte states of devotional service will sometimes adopt an attitude against those things or persons which may possibly be harmful or threatening to their tender devotional creepers. Srila Prabhupada goes in very much detail and as writing to a devotee. They may even overindulge in such feelings just to protect themselves. And thus, they will appear to some non-devotees who are perhaps themselves still very much enamored by the energy of Maya, to be negative or pessimistic. So here he answers directly her doubt and puts her in the right perspective. But the actual fact is that this material world is a miserable, negative place, full of danger at every step. It is dukalayam asasvatam, a temporary abode of death, birth, disease, and old age, a home of suffering and pain only. To come to the platform of understanding these things as they are is not very common, and therefore persons who attain to it are described as great souls. This means that those who have understood that the material world are places of misery and temporality, dukalayam asashvatam, never return here again. And because they are Mahatmana, the great souls, Krishna keeps them with him because they have qualified themselves to escape this nasty place by becoming his pure devotees. This verse is spoken by Krishna, or God himself, in Bhagavad Gita 8:15. Who can be a more final authority? The point is that to make advancement in spiritual life, one must view everything material with a pessimistic eye unless it is utilized to serve and please Krishna. We are not very much hopeful for any lasting pleasure or satisfaction for our deepest cravings within this realm of gross matter. And also Prabhupada addresses the point of verse he uses a number of times in her letter, love. You refer to the word love several times in your letter, but the actual fact is that there is no love in this material world. That is false propaganda. What they call love here is lust only, or desire for personal sense gratification. Krishna tells Arjuna, his disciple, that it is lust only which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. In the Vedic language, there is no word for materialistic love, as we call it in the present day. The word kama describes lust or material desire, not love. But the word that we find in the Vedas for actual love is prema, meaning one's love of God only. Outside of loving God, there is no possibility of loving. Rather, there is lusty desire only. Within this atmosphere of matter, the entire range of human activities, and not only every activity of human beings, but all living entities, is based upon giving impetus by and thus polluted by sex desire. The attraction between male and female, for that sex life, the whole universe is spinning around and suffering. That is the harsh truth. So-called love here means that you gratify my senses, I will gratify your senses, and as soon as the gratification stops, immediately there is divorce, separation, quarrel, and hatred. So many things are going on under this false conception of love. Actual love means love of God, Krishna. Everyone wants to repose his loving tendency in some object which is, in his opinion, worthy. But the question is one of ignorance only, because people have a poor fund of knowledge about where to find that supreme lovable object who is actually worthy to accept and reciprocate their love. People simply do not know. There is no proper information. As soon as you have some attachment for anything material, it will kick you upon the face. It will deteriorate and disappoint you. It's bound to dissatisfy and frustrate you. That's a fact. But these young boys in your country and all over the world are accepting, yes, that is a fact. And they are getting the right information from Krishna. After many births and deaths, he who is actually wise surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. This is Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Again, Krishna uses that word Mahatma, great soul. Therefore, our devotees that you have met are not ordinary boys and girls. No, they are to be considered actually wise, great souls, because they have experienced in many births the miserable disease of material life and have become disgusted. Therefore, they are seeking higher knowledge. They are seeking something better. And when they find Krishna and surrender unto him, they become Mahatmas, who are actually situated in knowledge. This material world is just like a prison house. It is a punishing place meant to bring us to the point of becoming disgusted. Surrendering at last to Krishna and going back to our original nature of eternal life in bliss and complete knowledge. Therefore, it is to the credit of these devotees that they have done what is sudurlabha, very rare among all men in human society. I think I will stop here. It goes on a little longer. So Prabhupada gives the whole sermon of Krishna consciousness in one letter. I don't know what happened with that lady, but it was a very nice so we'll stop here if there are any comment, question. I mean, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the letter, you know, that it's a big turnaround for all of us who took birth in the material world and lived for some time in the material world enough to have some serious attachments. So then to turn that around it's already wonderful that devotees take to Krishna consciousness. And then, you know, we have the promise of Srila Prabhupada that if we simply follow this process of taking initiation and following the vows, that we will go back to Godhead. So I think that's already a wonderful achievement.
Glorifying the Sankirtan devotees. Prabhupada also mentioned that if they go away angry, it's due to your nonsense. So, how do we understand that? That devotees are out doing their Sankirtan, but if we're not conscientious, we're rude and not polite to people, to speak of in the temple, then how do we, does Prabhupada just like whitewash it and know they're still sadhus, they're still nice people? Where do we draw the line as far as external behavior of so-called practitioners?
Yeah, ultimately the line has to be drawn by the temple president.
Get my marker out.
But in general, you know, we all come with some conditioned luggage. So in order to purify that, then sometimes, you know, somebody may react in an irritated way, speak some words which are not really suitable for an advanced Vaishnava. But, you know, if there is progress, if the devotee comes in the temple and you see that in the process of going through the Bhakta program, going through service, that there is progress in his attitude, then means the process is working. And that is encouraging, and sometimes we have to, just like the example of the mother with the baby, and then the baby eats and then vomits on her lap. She still loves him. She still, you know, she cleans it up and she, the day moves on. So, to some extent, we have to be able to tolerate these things. But as for everything, there are limits also. And if it's really, if somebody particularly is too disturbing, takes too much energy, more than we can handle, then, yeah, then sometimes also we have to tell them to come back later when they are better situated. Wonderful to have personal servant of Srila Prabhupada here. He's already what?
He's already hearing about the negativity. There's no down, there's no nothing. This is everything is like, you know. This negativity is not in the heart of the devotee. You see sometimes devotees are like this. They're very negative in their approach. So how do you bring this positivity in the heart of them? Like, after hearing this all negativity, you know, and even especially when somebody is a family member, there is no love, so how he can serve his wife and wife can serve the husband and children with a positive way.
I mean, the service to Krishna is very positive. the service to everybody related to Krishna, the spiritual master, the other devotees, is very positive. If you are in a family situation and the wife is cooperative in the process of Krishna consciousness, is also very positive. So there is no need. It's just that we, when we took birth in the material world so many times, we have been brainwashed that everything is so great in the material world, and that everything is you know, that physical attraction is love. It's a brainwashing. It's like a polluted intelligence. It's not reality. It's a setup. It's a trap. It's a trap of Maya. So we have to, our polluted intelligence have to become free from pollution, and then we see the reality as it is, and we see the material world as it is. I also had in the beginning, when I heard that everything is so bad in the material world, I couldn't understand why Prabhupada was so strong on that. But I see, as you know, as time passes by, as devotee, that it is a fact. It is a fact. It's all about I, me, mine, lust, so many, you know, and that we have to see, we have to accept, because how can we have faith in Krishna consciousness if we do not accept that basic truth, that the material world is a place of misery? It's a basic aspect. In order for us to have faith in, to build up faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, we have to accept that the material world is like broken pieces of glass, that there is nothing there to get what, which has value for us. So unless we come to that understanding, but once we have that understanding, then we can build up very positively our whole family of devotees. Is a positive experience with Krishna in the center. That's the difference, that, you know, Krishna was not there, suddenly Krishna is in the center and everything is geared towards him. Thank you very much. Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.